Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all, and first of all, one main announcement. This shiur, the first shiur for the year in Sefer Daniel, is in honor of the birthday of Batya Yehudit Bat Rachel Yechiel. I'm not going to tell you what her last name is, and I'm not going to tell you how old she is. The first I know, the second I don't. But she should be Zeichet Ta'adichas Yomim Vishanim. And it's also in honor of the fact that her daughter is an Olach Chozeret, which makes her very, very happy. I think that would make any of us happy. So she should be Zeichet to she and her family health, long life and nachas from children.
You know
who
else's birthday
is today? Who? Today is Binyamin Netanyahu's birthday? Well, I don't think, right now, not knowing what's going on over there, that's the worst place in the world. I wouldn't want to celebrate over there, and I don't know if there's much to celebrate. All right, don't get me onto that now, and don't ask me why. All right, okay. We're beginning a new sefer. Daniel, 12 chapters. The 12 chapters of Daniel, as you will see, have 357 psukim. There are 357 psukim in Sefer Daniel. Sefer Daniel is divided in really into two parts. The two parts of Daniel, first part are chapters 1 through 6, which have a total of 196 psukim, first 6 chapters, so it's really divided pretty well in half, 6 and 6. The first half of the Sefer deals with visions and dreams and things that occur in the time of Daniel that are relevant and relate to his time. And visions and dreams that are going to be immediately fulfilled. We're going to see, Daniel is going to see in great measure the fulfillment of those dreams and visions. Beginning with chapter 7 until the end, there are going to be dreams and visions that he is shown that really are a description of all of history until the end of days. Of course, there are going to be parts where it's not absolutely clear. If you think that by learning the last 6 chapters of Daniel, we're going to know exactly what is in store for us, no. But there are important and significant areas of history that are covered by these visions. Now, I always resist the attempt at beginning the study of a sefer with a long, highfalutin introduction. And there's a great deal to be said about Daniel. There's a tremendous amount that is said by our rabbis. Chazal have a lot to say about Daniel. There is a question amongst the rabbis that the Mefarshim later, was Daniel on the level of prophet, or was he inspired by Ruach HaKodesh, by a divine inspiration, but not at the level of prophecy? A lot of these questions that have to be dealt with, but rather than deal with them before you have an acquaintance and a feeling for the Sefer, I think doesn't make sense. So therefore I always resist these great introductions on the first day of school, and I've succeeded in resisting them. But there's one introduction that we have to begin with just the moment we open the Sefer and begin the first pasuk. You will of course also notice that the part of the Sefer is written in Aramaic. Let that not frighten you. Don't be frightened by it. I'm going to help you navigate the Aramaic, and by the time I'm finished with you, you may very well be comfortable in the Aramaic. You will find... No, you're going to make a major effort now. And you will find that many of the words in Aramaic are similar to the Hebrew, so you will already know from the Hebrew. And then there are certain letters that are interchangeable, and we'll take care of that. Just don't be afraid. The important thing is we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Kol ha'olam kulo geshet sarmiyod V'ha'ika lo lefache klau. You'll be able to get through the Aramaic. But meanwhile, you have a respite. The respite is that the first chapter is in Ivrit, is in Lashon Kodesh. And the very first pasuk, very first pasuk, Bishnat Shalosh L'Malchut Yehoyakim Melech Yehuda, in the third year of the kingdom of Yehoyakim, king of Yehuda, Bon Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel Yerushalayim Vayotzar Oleha. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Bavel, came to Yerushalayim and he besieged the city. So of course what you need first and foremost is the historical context and the background, and for that I prepared these sheets to give out, and I did not calculate correctly. I don't think everybody has a sheet, but they do all. If not, you can share with one another. We need the background, the historic background. Now, the historic background it has to be seen from a further point that's very important. The Sefer begins by dating the events to take place over here, dating it according to the year of the king of Yehuda. Throughout the rest of the Sefer, never again. All of the dating is going to be by the years of the kings of Babylon, Persia, and Medes. It's going to be Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar and Doryovesh and Koresh, which in and of itself, this very fact already has to leave you with the impression that we are talking about the decline of the Judean kingdom. From henceforward, dating is not going to be according to Jewish kings, but the dating is going to be according to the kings of nations of the world, because the decline has begun. There is still time yet to the Churban HaBayit, to the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, and precisely how much time, and in order to understand and realize the problem in the dating of this first pasuk that the Mefarshim tell us about, let me just take you through parts of this sheet. It's from Malachim Beth. It's there, right hand side of the page. Pasuk Chaf Chet, Pasuk 28. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the top. The king is Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu, as distinct from the kings of Yehuda who preceded him, Yoshiyahu was a great tzaddik. Yoshiyahu was one of the last great tzaddikim of the kings of Yehuda. In his day there was a cleansing and a purification of the land from idolatry. He celebrated a Pesach that had not been celebrated in many, many years before him. It was during his time that the Sefer Torah was found. The Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu was found in the Beit HaMikdash. Yoshiyahu was a great king. V'yeta divrei Yoshiyahu v'chol asher osa, and the rest of the things that Yoshiyahu did and all that he accomplished, halohin ketuvim al sefer divrei hayom ha'malchei Yehuda, they are written in the book of Chronicles of the Kings of Yehuda. Biyamav Allah paro necho melech Mitzrayim al melech Ashur al Nahar Parat. In his days, Paro Necho, Paro, king of Egypt, was called Paro Necho. He was lame. It's called Paro. He was a neche. What the picture that is being painted for us in this pasuk is the struggle between the two mighty empires. The mighty empire at the time is the Assyrian Empire, Ashur, but Ashur is in decline. Ashur is to the north, to the south is Mitzrayim, and now the two ma'atzamot, the two superpowers, are going to struggle for world preeminence. And who's always caught in the middle? Klal Yisrael, and here it's Eretz Yisrael, caught in the middle of this apocalyptic battle between two great forces. In his days, Paro Necho, king of Egypt, went against the king of Ashur, Al Nahar Prat. That means he has to cross through all of Eretz Yisrael in order to get to the Euphrates. Vayelech HaMelech Yoshiyahu L'Krato, Yoshiyahu wanted to stop him from going through Eretz Yisrael, Vayimitehu b'Megido kira'oto oto. Paro Necho killed Yoshiyahu when he saw him at Megiddo. We know where Megiddo is. If you traveled up north, you turn right at Zichron Yaakov, you pass Yokna'am, and then when you see the prison, there's a prison at the corner, that's Megiddo. Alright. Vayarkivuhu Avodav made me Megiddo, his servants brought him dead from Megiddo. Vayiviyuhu Yerushalayim, Vayikberuhu Bikfurato, they brought him to Yerushalayim and they buried him. Vayikach Amhoretz at Yehoachaz ben Yoshiyahu, the people took Yehoachaz, the son of Yoshiyahu, Vayimshichu Oto, they anointed him, Vayamlichu Oto Tachat Aviv, and they made him king in place of his father. You're just going to have to know a few names. Yehoachaz is the one who now takes over from Yoshiyahu. Ben Esrim Vishalosh Shana Yehoachaz B'Malcho, he was 23 years old when he became king. Ushlosha Chodoshim Malach B'Yerushalayim, he reigned no more than 3 months. V'Shem Imo Chamutal Bat Yirmiyahu MiLivna, Chamutal, the daughter of Yirmiyahu from Livna. This is not Yirmiyahu the Navi. Yirmiyahu the prophet comes from Anatot. Anatot is near Neve Yaakov. There's an Arab village called Antar, which is the site of Anatot. Vayas harabi eni Hashem, he did that which was evil in the eyes of God, kechol asher osu avosav, as his fathers had done, excluding Yoshiyahu. Vayasrehu paro necho berivla be'eretz chamad. Mimeloch b'Yerushalayim. Paro necho was, for all intents and purposes, he was the ruler of Israel, and Judea had become a vassal state as part of the Egyptian Empire, and he was incarcerated by Paro Necho at Rivla in the land of Hamat, prohibited from being king in Yerushalayim. Vayiten Onesh Al Haaretz, there was a punishment upon the land of Meor Kikar Kesev Vekikar Zav, a tremendous amount of gold and silver that had to be paid as tribute. Vayam Leich Paro Necho et El Yakim Ben Yoshiyahu. Paro Necho appointed as king El Yakim, the son of Yoshiyahu, Yehoachaz's brother El Yakim, Tachat Yoshiyahu Aviv in place of his father Yoshiyahu, Vayasev et Shmo Yehoyakim, and he changed his name to Yehoyakim. That's the Yehoyakim that we're talking about over here. Now, one thing that is going to become very important, and we might as well talk about it here. What do you mean he changes his name? What do you mean he changes his name? Paro gives him a new name. Who else gives people names? In this chapter, we're going to find that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are going to be given Aramaic names by Nebuchadnezzar. But the idea of giving names, so Marsha mentions that Paro changed the name of Yosef. He gave him the name Tzafnat Paaneach. Right. We're going to see a number of other changes of names. By the way, God calls Avram Avraham. He calls Sarai Sarah, and Yaakov Yisrael. Wait a minute. Moshe calls, very good, you're getting it all. Moshe calls Hosea Yehoshua. In each one of these cases, there is an idea behind it. If we'll begin with the idea of Paro changing the name of Eliakim to Yehoyakim, the fact that I change somebody's name means that I rule over him. He is my servant. Now, a servant can be a servant in a very positive sense and in a very negative sense. Avram, who is the servant of God, is the servant of God in the most positive way. And God demonstrates his relationship with Abraham by changing his name. God demonstrates his relationship with Sarah in a sense. It's not only the change of a name, but it's a prayer and a prophecy that, and a guarantee that Avram is going to be a father of many people. Sarai is going to be one who will rule over a great nation. Yaakov, your name shall no longer be Yaakov, but your name is going to be Israel. Ki sarita imalkim v'im anashim, because you have struggled with God and with men, and you have prevailed. So in a sense, it's a prayer, it is a prophecy, and it is a guarantee. Paro, who changes the name of Yosef, is in a sense, I would say, he's naming him. The name there, of course, demonstrates the idea that Yosef is the one who is able to interpret the mysteries. Sofnat Paaneach, he is Mefaaneach, meaning that he opens up and he makes clear and he unlocks the secrets. But it also demonstrates that if I have the ability to name you, then you are, in that sense, subservient to me. Moshe, who is the Eved Hashem, sees Yehoshua as his most trustworthy servant. And over there it was quite clear that his changing of the name was a prayer. As Rashi says, that he called him Yehoshua, Ko Yoshiacha Me'atzat Meraglim. May God save you from the counsel of the Meraglim. Over here, when Paro Necho changes the name of Eliakim to Yehoyakim, this is in order to demonstrate that Paro Necho is the Lord of the land. And not only is he the one who removes the king that the people have appointed, he is going to appoint the next king. And not only is he going to appoint the next king, he is going to give him his name. Now, you may wonder, he gives him such a... he had a Fruma name before that, Eliakim, that God should establish. So now he changes his name to Yehoyakim, which also means either God establish, or it can also mean that God should take revenge. If you dare break your commitments to me. Because Paro Necho has exacted from Eliakim, Yehoyakim, he has exacted from him all sorts of promises of servitude. Now you gotta keep it. You have to keep it. And God is the one who will take revenge if you don't keep it. What we see before our very eyes, now this is the first king of Yehuda, the first king of the Jewish people who has been appointed and put in place by a foreign power. The first one. The first one that a foreign power has even had the chutzpah and the nerve of giving the king his name. A foreign power that has rejected the choice of the people and their own choice. All that this means is that what we're watching before our very eyes is the beginning of the end. It's going to take about another 20 years, but ultimately the way, the leading to Churban is already set. Only a miracle can save them. Vayase bet shmo Yehoyakim. So back to that pasuk 34. He made his name Yehoyakim. That Yehoachaz lakach. He took Yehoachaz, who had been king for 3 months. Vayavu Mitzrayim. He came to Mitzrayim and he died there. Let's skip to pasuk 36. Ben Esrim v'chamei shana Yehoyakim b'molcho. Yehoyakim is 25 years old when he becomes king. 11 years. Sum total of his reign is going to be 11 years. And his mother is Zevida Bas Pedoya Min Ruma. He did evil in the eyes of God. B'yamav. Now, if you'll notice, the first pasuk that we began with was pasuk 29 in the chapter before, Biyomav Ola Paro Necho. In the days of Yoshiyahu, it was Paro Necho who arises over the land. In the days of Yehoyakim, a new threat develops. That means the preeminence of Paro and Mitzrayim in this international scene has been short-lived, and there's a new power that is beginning to rise on the other side of the Euphrates. All of a sudden, Babylon begins to emerge as the superpower of the day. Biyomav, in his days, Ola Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, and now caught in the vice between the two great powers, Ashur. Assyria has already disappeared from the world scene. Ashur, that had brought fear and terror in the entire Middle East for 100, 200 years. Ashur, the great empire, disappeared. From that time on and further, the only thing you're going to find about Ashur are archaeological remains if you go digging for them. But the Assyrian empire is finished. And upon the ruins of the Assyrian empire, the young upstart Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, and he's taking on the present, the superpower Hatoran. How do they say that? Hatoran in Hebrew, huh? The one on duty. In other words, yeah, you know, like there's superpowers come, superpowers go, passing like shadows, wiped off the earth. Okay, so here it is. Superpower Ashur is gone, Mitzrayim is gone, Bavel now rises. Vayihilo Yehoyakim Eved Shalosh Shanim. Yehoyakim was a servant to him for 3 years. Vayoshav Vayimrod Bo. This Yehoyakim rebels against Nebuchadnezzar. That's Jewish chutzpah. You understand? That's Jewish chutzpah. Judea is weak. And Judea is standing up against the great power of Babel. It takes a lot of nerve. It takes a great deal more than nerve. In other words, I say that this, in a sense, may even speak well for him, though Yirmiyahu told him not to do it. Not to do it. But he rebels. And you know how long he remains a rebel? 3 years. His rebellion lasts for 3 years. He holds off the Babylonian Empire. Vayishlach Hashem bo et gedudei kazdim ved gedudei aram vayishalach Hashem. Here's very important. This is another pasuk that's going to be significant in the study of Daniel, beginning in the very first chapter, very soon. In Tanakh tells us clearly who it is that acts in history. If Aram and the Kazdim, the people from the north, attack, do you know why they attack? Because by Yishalach Hashem. This is the editorial comment of Tanakh. It's God who sends the enemy against Israel. By Yishalach Hashem bo et gedudei Kazdim, the forces of Kazdim, the gangs of Kazdim, ved gedudei Aram, ved gedudei Moab, ved gedudei Bnei Amon, by Yishalchem bi Yehuda la'avidot. You understand, God is the one that's sending enemies from all sides. We're talking about the north, to the east, Moab and Ammon, and he sent them against Yehuda to destroy him. Kidvar Hashem asher diber v'yad avodav ha-Nevi'im, as God had said through his servants the Nevi'im. It's the beginning of the end. The death rattle may take another 10, 15 years, but this is exactly what is happening. Ach al pi Hashem haitah b'Yehuda l'hasir me'al panav b'chatot menashe k'chol asher osa. It was decided by God that he's going to remove Yehuda because of the sins of the king of Menashe. The innocent blood that was spilled by Yemalei Yerushalayim dam naki. And he had filled Yerushalayim with innocent blood below. Over Hashem l'slava. God simply did not want to forgive. V'yet divrei Yehoyakim v'chol asher asa halayim k'tuvim al-sefer Divrei Hayam al-Mach Yehuda, everything else that was done by Yehoyakim, all of this is written in the book of Chronicles. By Yishkav Yehoyakim im Avotam, by Yimlach Yehoyakim ben Altartov, his son Yehoyakim, v'lo Hosef od Melech Mitzrayim latzeit mi'atzo. Now we see clearly what's happened. The king of Egypt is confined to quarters in his land. The king of Egypt isn't going any place anymore. And he's not going any place anymore because Babel is now supreme. The king of Egypt didn't go out of his land. From Nachal Mitzrayim, we're talking about from the southern Sinai desert, all the way up to the Euphrates, everything that had been part of the Egyptian empire had been taken by by Babylon. Yehoyachin ben Shmoneh Esrei Shana, Yehoyachin l'malcho, 18 years, he's 18 years old when he becomes king. He also remains in power no more than Shlosha Chodashim, 3 months. Who else was 3 months? Yehoachaz, the son of Yoshiyahu. It will not be confusing. By the time I'm finished with you, you will be able to list these kings in order without hesitation. We've begun with Yoshiyahu as the great tzaddik. Yoshiyahu, who kills Yoshiyahu? Paro, Necho. Who is appointed by the people? Yehoachaz. 3 months, Paro Necho comes in, removes Yehoachaz, and he appoints Eliakim, whom he names Yehoyakim. Boy, am I happy that I was able to say that without making a mistake. Well, you have Yehoyakim, all right. He's 18 years old, Yehoyakim, and he rules for 3 months, and his mother was Nechushta Bat El Natan Yerushalayim. He did that which was evil in the eyes of God, as his father had done. Ba'etahi Olu Avdei Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel Yerushalayim. This is the second time that Nebuchadnezzar invades. He invades Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim during the days of Yehoyakim. He now invades again during the days of Yehoyachin. Vayavo, Pasuk 11, Vayavo Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel al ha'ir va'avodav tzorim aleho. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, came to the city, and his servants are already besieging the city. By the way, this is already the third siege, okay? Vayetze Yehoyachin Melech Yehuda al Melech Bavel hu v'imo va'avodav v'sorav v'sariso v'yikach al tom Melech Bavel v'shnat shmona l'malcho. He goes out with his wife and all of his servants, and he's taken as captive. Bishnat Shmoneh L'Molcho, in the 8th year of his reign. Whose reign? Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Because remember, Yehoyachin only reigns 3 months. So the Pasuk must be talking now about the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Okay, and here begins the another dramatic stage in the end. Vayotze Misham, and this is going to be important in our understanding of the first chapter of Daniel. Vayotze Misham at Kolot Zrod Beit Hashem. He took out all of the treasures of the house of God, the Otzrod Beit Hamelech, and the treasures of the house of the king, the palace. They are plundering Yerushalayim. They cut down, they took off all of the golden vessels that had been made by Shlomo, king of Israel, in the house of God. And it's Kasher Diber Hashem. This is exactly what God said, and God, Yirmiyahu had been telling them in the speech of Yerushalayim that it's going to happen. And now it indeed happens. V'higlah et kol Yerushalayim v'et kol asorim v'et kol giborei achayil aseret alafim gola v'chol echoresh v'hamazge lo nisha zulat dalat am ha'aretz. This is a fascinating pasuk, and it's going to be part of the again of our understanding of the first chapter in Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, in the first wave of exiles whom he takes, he drains the brains of Klal Yisrael. He removes the leadership. He takes the outstanding ones off into exile into Babel. He takes the most unusual. You know who's going to be in this group? Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, the Choresh and the Mazgeh, Chazal say, was Sanhedrin. He took the cream of Yerushalayim off into exile. all of the leadership, all the Sarim, all the Gibori Achal, the mighty ones, 10,000, and then the Chorosh and the Mazgeh. The Chorosh and the Mazgeh, there are two pshatim. Either it means the military leadership, or it means the Torah leadership. No, lo nishan zulat dalat amhar. It's all that's left is the poor peasantry. Vayogalik Yehoyachin Bavela. He took Yehoyachin into exile in Bavel. Vet Eim Hamelef, Vet Mishay Hamelef, Vet Sarisav, Vet Elei Haaretz. Holich Golam Yerushalayim Bavela. He took the mother of the king, the wives of the king, his officers, all the mighty ones into Golas in Yerushalayim. From to Bavel. Who else do you know is in this group of... Who said that? Very good. That's right. It's all going to end up over there. Yehoyachin is also called Yechonya. And in the Megillah it says, Ish Yehudi Haya Bishushan Habira Ushmo Mordechai Ben Yair Ben Shimi Ben Kish Ishimini Asher Hagla Mirushalayim Im Hagola Asher Haglasa Im Yechonya Melech Yehuda Yechonya Melech Yehuda. That's Yehoyachin. So we're talking about an Eretz Yisrael that is now bereft of leadership. Absolutely bereft of leadership. Tragedy of a profound nature. The last pasuk in this chapter and the first pasuk in the next one, and that's it. The last pasuk is Vayamlech Melech Bavel et Matanya Dodo Tachtav. The king of Bavel, the last king, had been appointed by Taro. This king is going to be appointed by the king of Bavel. And who does he appoint? Yehoyachin's uncle, Matanya. And he changes his name. He gives him his name by Yasevet Shmot Tzidkiyahu. This is the last king. That means Matanya is a brother of Yoshiyahu. He's a brother of Yoshiyahu. The uncle of Yechonya now becomes king, and this is going to be the last of the kings of Yehuda. Ben Esrim Va'achat Shono Tzidkiyo B'molcho. Tzidkiyo was 21 years old when he became king. Va'achat Esrei Shono Malach B'Yerushalayim. And 11 years he was king in Yerushalayim. V'shem Imo, and his mother's name was Chamutal Bat Yirmiyam Yilivna. That's the same mother as Yehoachaz. Yehoachaz, in other words, he's a son of Yoshiyahu, not the who should have become the king, the son of Yehoyakim, an enikel of Yoshiyahu, but it's not an enikel of Yoshiyahu, but a son of Yoshiyahu who is going to be powerful. Kings only appoint docile people, for people that they hope are docile, or they're going to make them docile. Now, and here again we have that he gives him his name, which we discussed earlier.
What could I do?
Should have taken a cab earlier. Yeah. Right. I don't have the answer, but it's something, it's food for thought. And Marsha is asking, and by the way, you should know that this is true of all of the kings of Yehuda. In every case, they tell you precisely who his mother was. So Marsha is asking, why are they so careful and so precise to tell us the name of the mother? It's done by every one of the kings of Yehuda, not by the kings of Yisrael. I don't need any feminist speeches about the apologetics, how Torah is so considers you know, the women important. Of course the women are important. We know that. We don't have to prove anything to anybody. All right. This is the introduction. We know the historic background. The historic background is going to raise a problem, and the problem is raised and dealt with in the first Rashi of Daniel. Now we're into Daniel. Bishnat Shalos, the Malchut Yehoyakim Melech Yehuda, Ba Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel Yerushalayim, in the third year of the reign of Yehoyakim, king of Yehuda, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, came to Yerushalayim, and he besieged the city. And Rashi, I'm going to quote the Rashi, V'chiev Shalom HaKein, is it possible to say that? Fa'alohu Malach Bishnat Dalet LeYehoyakim. Nebuchadnezzar, from other sources we know in Sefer Divrei Yom and other places, we know that Nebuchadnezzar first began his reign, assumed the throne of Babel in the fourth year of Yehoyakim. How is it possible for him to be invading Eretz Yisrael in the third year of Yehoyakim's reign when he's not going to become king? He doesn't exist until the fourth year of Yehoyakim's reign. So Rashi says, "B'chiyev Shalom HaKein, v'alohu Malach." He became king in the fourth year of Yehoyakim. Shenema, as it says, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, "V'ashana ha-revi'is lo Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyo, Melech Yehuda, hi hashana harishona le-Nebuchadnezzar." Yirmiyahu clearly says that the fourth year of Yehoyakim, it corresponds to the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar was not coming up against Yehoyakim in the third year of his reign when he didn't reign yet. So what does it mean over here at the beginning of Daniel when it says Bishnat Shalosh in the third year? Says Rashi, Bishnat Shalosh Limordo, in the third year of his rebellion. You remember we learned that he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, and how long did the rebellion last? The rebellion lasted for 3 years. Toward the end of the third year of the reign of the rebellion Yehoyakim, Shenema, as it says, Vayihilo Yehoyakim Evet Shalom Shanim. Rashi brings the passage that we learned that Yehoyakim was a servant for 3 years, Vayoshav Vayimrod Bo Shalom Shanim, and he rebelled for 3 years, and in the third year, which corresponds to the eighth year of Nebuchadnezzar, that's when he came up against Yehoyakim. So that means that altogether, Rashi then gives us the whole cheshbon. The Amar, because the Gemara says the following: Shana Rishana, the first year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he conquered Nineveh. Nineveh was the great city, the great city that ultimately got exactly what Yonah wanted it to get. He conquered Nineveh. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar came and he conquered Yehoyakim. And 3 years Yehoyakim served him. 3 years he rebelled against him. And that brings us to the 11th year of the kingdom of Yehoyakim. There are 5 years before he was conquered, 3 that he served Nebuchadnezzar, 3 that he rebelled against him. Va'az mate Yehoyakim tachat yado. Yehoyakim died while he was under the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. The himlich Nebuchadnezzar tachat of Yehoyakim beno. Yehoyakim, the son of Yehoyakim, becomes king. Yehoyakim, as we know, Yehoyakim is going to be king for 3 months. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come against Eretz Yisrael again. He's going to remove Yehoyakim, and he's going to make his uncle Matanya, who is the brother of Yehoyakim, king. So therefore, the dating, and as we said at the outset, this is the last time that anything is going to be dated according to a king of Yehuda. But it's more than that. Even in this first dating, according to the way we understand the pasuk now, it's already describing the decline of Yehoyakim, because it's talking, when it says Bishnat Shalosh Lemalchut Yehoyakim Melech Yehuda, in the third year of the reign, it's not the third year of the reign of Yehoyakim. It's the third year of his rebellion against Nebuchadnezzar, which is going to be crushed. Which means that even in this first pasuk, do you know what's really behind the dating? The dating is Nebuchadnezzar. The dating is the rise of Nebuchadnezzar. And here again, pasuk 2. Let's go, we're moving ahead. Vayitein Hashem biyado et Yehoyakim melech Yehuda. Here is the editorial comment of Tanakh. It is God who gives into his hands Yehoyakim, the king of Yehuda, umiktzat klei beit olakim, and some of the vessels of the house of God. Vayivyeim eretz Shinar beit elokav, and he brought them, Elohav, he brought it to the land of Shinar, Shinar is Babel. How do you know? Where do you know that Shinar is Babel? Where do you know that Shinar is Babel? So let me tell you something. Wait a minute. One moment. You know, there are floods. The flood that I'm talking about now is the flood of Parsha sheets. I don't know how many Parsha sheets you get in your shul, but I tell you, I am already, I'm falling under the weight of all the Parsha sheets. And then again, you know, all my good friends give me all sorts of things to read. You know, I don't have enough hours in the day or days in the week to read all this stuff, you understand? But there are some that I like to read. Rav Baruch Eliyahu puts out a beautiful parsha sheet with a lot of nice verta, and I mean, this is not, I'm not taking the position about Shabbat for Shabbato. That's pretty good if you like that. I certainly not taking the position about Sichat HaShavua of the Chabad. I mean, you know, whatever. Huh? Torah Tippets, got that. But it's pretty good. He does a terrific job. But Rav Baruch Eliyahu said in his Erev Rosh Hashanah, I think it was Erev Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, so he says, you know, that week was the issue of amulets and Bali Kabbalah and Rav Kaduri and Rav Batsri, and you know, those pictures are now going up in Yerushalayim in preparation for the elections. There are pictures, I don't know what they have here in the center of town. You may have Shimon Shitrit's picture in the center of town and Ehud Olmert, but in Har Nof we have Rav Ovadia Yosef and Kaduri and all the rest all over the streets. It's amazing. I'll tell you, that's and what happens with all of these pictures, you know, that's why I didn't run for office in Yerushalayim. It's not because I was afraid that they would put my picture up. It's what would happen when my picture would fall down. I'd want everybody to put it in the Seamus, right? I would want. And by the way, I'm not kidding you. I was indeed asked this summer to head one of the lists for Iriyat Yerushalayim, and after a great deal of soul searching and a discussion with my wife, I decided against running for public office. But I'm not going to tell you. No, I'm sorry, I'm not going to get into politics. But all right, that's just a little tidbit for you. Anyway, Rav Baruch Eliyahu says a beautiful thing. People run all over to find a segula or an amulet for Arifas Yomim and all of these good things. He says they overlook the most simple one of all. The Gemara says that whoever goes through Parshat HaShavua every week, Shnayim Mikra, you go over the text twice and the Targum or the Rashi, Marichin Lo Yomav Ushnotav, he is blessed with length of days and years. So he says, what are you going to look for all sorts of abracadabra? Learn the Parshat HaShavua. And if you would have learned the Parshat HaShavua, even though it's early in the week, you still have time, you would know that the Tower of Babel was built by people who came to a valley that was called Shinar, and that Shinar, after God confused their tongues, was called Babel. Okay, Vayivim Edet Shinars. That's all. That was just a commercial for Parshat HaShavua, not for Parshat HaShavua Sheets. It was a commercial for Parshat HaShavua. He brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. That Hakelim Hevi Beit Otzar Elohav. And the kelim he brought, the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash, he brought to the treasure house of his God. What it really means is, first he brought them all. Bringing them all means he brings all of the exiles and the kelim. He makes a tremendous, I would say, a ceremony, a victory ceremony, of bringing them all to this great stadium over there, the conqueror who comes back with the cream of the Jewish world as slaves. And then, of course, he takes, after he's made this great presentation, he puts the vessels in the house of his deity. The king said to Ashpenaz, the head of all of his offices, Lahavim ibnei Yisrael, Umiserach Melucha, to bring from the children of Israel and from the seed of the royal house of Israel, Umin HaPartimim. Partimim means officers of the various good looking, umaskilim b'kol chokhma, people who succeed in all wisdom, v'yodei da'at, and who will know knowledge, and we will yet discuss the specific meanings of all of these, but first the general idea, umevinei mada, and who understand knowledge. It's really referring to the sciences and to the arts, v'asher kar behem lamod b'heichal ha'melech, those who have the strength to stand b'heichal ha'melech in the court of the king, ulalam them sefer, to teach them books and knowledge, ulashon kazdim, and they should learn the language of the kazdim. The Babylonians are also called the kazdim, and the language that they spoke is the language of kazdim. What he wants is that these young children should be raised in the court, and what do you mean if they have that they have strength? You know, because to be a member of the royal palace means that the best example that I can give is you have a Buckingham Palace. You ever go to Buckingham Palace? You see those guards outside? Yeah? And they're supposed to not crack a smile under any circumstances, right? And of course silly tourists go ahead and taunt them and try to make them laugh or something of that sort. And these tradition dies hard in England, or never dies. And Kach Lamod Lehem Bebet HaMelech, the Mephoshim say that yes, they have to be able to maintain a sense of dignity at all times. No nagah should talk, no laughing. Mephoshim even say that it means that you don't go to the bathroom when you feel you want to go to the bathroom. That's like meeting with all the pressures. They say that this is one of Assad's tricks. Everybody hates going to visit Assad because he can keep a meeting going for 5-6 hours and nobody is permitted out. It can be the Secretary of State of the United States or anybody else. I don't mind that they suffer. That's okay. But Koch, there's a certain, yes, a tension and a pressure. There's a form of dignity. And there was once, you know, in high places, there was once some kind of a code of conduct anyway, externally. I don't know how much it lasts, you know. When you're in the Oval Office, you have that, like you're in the Oval Office. When you're in the, when you're by Nebuchadnezzar, then you have to, this is what they're all going to learn. And the king appointed for them, in other words, he decided for them day by day. And the word vayiman means that he set aside, and it also comes from the word mana. Mana are portions from the mipad bag hamelech umiyein mishtav. Pat bag hamelech, Rashi says, was some kind of a royal dish. A royal dish, not bread. Pat bag hamelech is a royal dish of some sort, and from his drink, ulegadlam shanim shalosh, they would be raised for 3 years, umiktsatsam, and some of them yandul ifte hamelech. From this group of exceptional and outstandingly brilliant young people of perfection, these young people, some of them will be chosen to serve in the house of the king. Vayehi behem mibnei Yehuda, it means they were for many nations. He was a world conqueror, Nebuchadnezzar. From the sons of Yehuda, and according to many of the Mepharshim, they were from the royal family. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Vayosem lehem sar hasarisim shemot. And now we, of course, will understand when it says over here that the head officer gives them names, just as all of the other people we know who gave names. This is an indication that I rule over you. There's nothing more personal. It isn't the name that which identifies me more than anything else, except for a Tudat Zehut number? The thing that identifies me most. And now, if my identity is determined by somebody else, in a sense, Ein Lecho Hashpolo Gedolim, there's no greater sense of subservience than my name is decided by him. Yes? Not a bad, I like that. She said, I'll tell you what she said. A new name is something sort of like taking your past and making it your past and erasing it. And this, your life begins now. Maybe up until now you were Daniel, but from now on and further you are going to be Baal Shazzar. Okay. Vayosam lehem sarah sedisim shemot vayosam leDaniel Baal Shazzar velechananya Shadrach ulemishael Meshach velazaria Avednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Avednego. Each one of the guests, it's a Negro spiritual. All right, Shadrach. I learned that as a little kid. Okay. Unfortunately, I don't know whether we knew then when we knew the song that it's a pasuk in Tanakh. Didn't have a clue, and we had no idea to whom it refers. But here, there is something worse about the change of the name, because each one of the names now, each one of their names in Hebrew has the name of God in it, and each one of their names in the Kazdin Aramaic has a name of an Aramean deity, an idol. Daniel is, God is my judge, right? Hananiah, God gives me favor, Hananka. Mishael, they're not so sure what Mishael means. We certainly have the word El at the end. What the Mish over here means is very vague in the Mepharshim. Vazaria, of course, that God is the one who saves, one who assists. Baal was one of the gods of Babel. So, in each one of the names, there's some reference to a deity. Now, the changing of the names is not only your past achievements or accomplishments or your family, your religion. Everything is changing. Everything is changing. You're going to be raised here like a good guy. That's what's going to happen to you. And most probably, the fact that their food is being given to them by the king with absolutely no consideration for, package OU glatt kosher meals is also, in a sense, to uproot their Yiddishkeit. Vayosam Daniel Alibo, Daniel is the one who placed it upon his heart. That means he made a decision. Ashalo yidgo'al bitad bag hamelech upigein mishtav. He is not going to become yidgo'al. Yidgo'al is a fascinating word. I'm only going to deal with it for a moment and elaborate on it at another opportunity. Yidgo'al means to become filthied, dirtied, defiled. Well, defiled and contaminated. That doesn't. They're all the same. What do we? Goel nefesh. Except that goel nefesh is spelled with an ayin, and this is with an aleph. In a sense, the word comes from the word geula, to be redeemed. This is the opposite. Why did you say this is the opposite? Defilement is the opposite of redemption. And one of the fascinating manifestations and phenomena of the Hebrew language of Lashon Kodesh, there are words that mean something and its precise opposite. All right, very good. So I don't want to go into that, but that's good. Kadosh and Kadesha, a prostitute is a Kadesha. Lotia Kadesha. Lahashrish is to give something roots. Lisharesh is to uproot. Now, I can keep going word after word. You have it, by the way, in Parshat HaShavua. The word Heichel, meaning new beginning, start, and it also means to defile and defame. It's a fascinating phenomenon, and there's a tremendous amount of meaning, the fact that two opposites very often inhabit the same sphere, is it also possible that man is always caught in a struggle between two opposites? But if I'm going to start talking about this now, we'll never get to Daniel. But I just want you to know that this word, Gid Ga'al, is one of those words. On the one hand, it means Goyel Nefesh. What all the words? Contaminate, defiled, dirty, filthy. But it's written, the way it's written, it speaks of redemption. While this is the exact opposite of redemption.
Is it possible that in the Bible, euphemism was, that the thieves are euphemisms, right? Because the Bible did not want to put in so-called...
All right, so I'll save that. I'll save that for when I deal with this issue at greater length. Talk me out. I hear. In other words, yes, there are euphemisms, even though, of course, the Torah uses euphemisms when it chooses to, and there again, doesn't know it. But if we're talking about Parshat Noach already, Parshat Noach, that the Gemara says that Torah is very careful to use refined language, because it does not refer to the unclean animals that come to the Teva as Behema Timea, but Behema Ashelo Tahora, that is not pure, that is not clean. And on the basis of this, the Gemara at the beginning of Masechet Pesachim says, La'olam Yisaper Adam B'Losha Niki, a person should always try to choose very clean language.
Is this the only time it's meaning is used in
Huh?
Is this the only time it's meaning is used in Tanakh?
I'm afraid that I can't answer that. I can't say that I have all of Tanakh before me right now, whether this is the only time that Yid Gaal is used in this. I mean, I have to take a look in Concordancy and see if it is. Vayivakesh Misara Sarisim, he asked the head officer, Shalom Yid Gaal, that he should not be defiled by it. I don't think that he went over to him and said, listen, I don't want to eat your filthy, contaminated, polluted food. In other words, he most probably, maybe the puzzle wants to point out that he said it in a more refined way. He didn't tell him, listen, I can't eat your stuff. Vayitenu Elokim es Daniel lechesed ulorachmin, God moves in again, and he gives Daniel kindness and mercy before the Sar HaSarisim, even though the Sar HaSarisim is not going to help him. But you know what the Sar HaSarisim is going to do? He's going to turn his eye away in the next pasuk. Vayomer Sar HaSarisim le Daniel, in the pasuk after this, watch. Sar HaSarisim said to Daniel, Yorei ani et Adoni HaMelech, I am afraid of my master the king. By the way, even here already, he could have simply told Daniel, you dirty Jew, you eat what we give you to eat. And by the way, I said it in such an unsavory manner, because one thing is going to remain fascinating. Throughout this sefer, Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, are always going to be referred to as the ones from Yahud. The Aramaic for Yehuda. They are. Daniel is going to have great arichus yomim, and he's going to remain a pivotal figure in government throughout the entire Babylonian Empire, into the Empire of the Persians and the Medes, and they never let him forget for a minute that he's a Yahud. Because they don't forget for a minute that he's a Yahud. So what the response I would have expected from over here is, listen, you're in exile, you're a slave, you are now under the heel of Bavel, this is what the king has given you to eat, this is what you're going to eat, and don't give me a hard time. Yes?
But it's just like Hashem brings punishment,
he also brings punishment. Yes, so that's what, the Pasuk says you should understand that this response of the Sar HaSarisim is because of God's intervention. If not for God's intervention, that's what I'm pointing at. If not for God's intervention, he would have told Daniel, you eat this.
Same thing with Esther.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yes.
But the same thing happened to her. She had found favor with the head of the
Jews. Absolutely. Exactly. By the way, you're going to find terms here in Daniel that are very similar to terms in words that we get in Megillas Esther. And then once we get into the end of this chapter and the beginning of the next chapter, we're going to have, and I'd say at least maybe even half the Sefer Daniel. You know what you're going to have to keep in mind? Another young boy in the palace of a king. And the number of similarities are going to boggle the mind. Yosef. They're both going to be the interpreters of dreams. They are both going to rise to power. And they are both going to maintain their integrity as Jews in a foreign land. But there's one more important point. And this is a point that I'll make it now, and we'll probably have to repeat it a number of times. When we learn the Psukim in Malachim, and we hear about Nebuchadnezzar coming and emptying the land of its leadership, in all areas, spiritual leadership, physical leadership, material leadership, military leadership. I think I used the term a brain drain of Eretz Yisrael, and what's left over there, Dalat Am Haaretz. And what does Nebuchadnezzar see before his eyes? He's weakening this people. He's taking off in chains into exile all of their greatest. What the man doesn't realize is that the Rebbeinu Shleilim works in such fascinating ways. Because precisely those people who are being taken off into exile years before the Churban HaBayit are going to establish a Jewish community there that will be ready and waiting for the exiles to come, and ultimately Jewish identity is going to remain strong and powerful for 1,000 to 1,500 years, when the Nebuchadnezzar will long have been forgotten. They're going to, yes, they will be the authors of Talmud Bavli, but more than that, there's going to be, for better or for worse, but certainly in terms of Jewish identity and Jewish survival, these kids are going to make all of the difference. And Nebuchadnezzar sees it all as the death blow to the Jewish people, and he doesn't understand that with his, he can't, there's no way for him to understand that with his seeming destruction of the Jewish people, he's guaranteeing, he's God's shliach to guarantee their survival. No, it's not a goyish cup. This goyish, no cup could see that. No cup could see it. I don't think a Yiddish cup could see it. Only one cup could see it. There was only one who could see it. And that was Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu told the exiles, even before the first wave of exiles, he said, Bnu Batim, when you go to Bavel, build houses, marry, have children, and hit palalu et dirshu et shlom ha'ir, and seek the peace of the city asher higleiti etchem shama, that I have taken you there. He says, just hang in over there. Just hang in. Just maintain yourselves. Don't shake the boat. Wait, now. I gotta finish. I must finish the chapter. Vayom Sarah Sarisim la Daniel. The Sarah Sarisim said to Daniel, Yorei Aniat Adoni HaMelech, I am afraid of my master the king, Asher Mino, who had appointed Ma'achalchem bet mishtechem, what you should eat and what you should drink. Asher Lomo Yireh Penechem Zarafim, why should he see your faces all drawn or sort of angry? No, you're not going to eat. Zvern Oiz Geveikt, and Oiz Gedart. You're going to look so terrible, and then I'm going to get it. You're going to look worse. Min hayaladim asher gigilchem, the children who are your age, v'chiyavtem et roshi l'melech. My head. I have to give my head to the king. Now, vayom v'daniel al ha'melech. So you see, the Sar HaSarisim does not want to stand in his way, but he cannot. He says, I'm sorry that I can't acquiesce. I can't do it. But he turns his eye away when Daniel says to the Meltzar, to the waiter, the one who in fact brings the food, Asher Mino Sar HaSarisim, that the Sar HaSarisim appointed al Daniel Hananiah Mishov Azariah, the one whom he had appointed over Daniel Hananiah Mishov Azariah, Nasno Asavodecho Yomim Asara. Let's have a test for 10 days. Please test your servant for 10 days. V'yitnu lanu min hazeroim, give us from the seeds, the beans, v'nochla, and we will eat, umayim v'nishta, just give us water and we will drink. Test, let's see, after 10 days, you know, let's take a look at before and after, and say, let's see what will happen. And then you will see how we look, and then take a look at the king, the children who are eating the patbag hamelach with all the cholesterol and all the chazarai. And whatever you see, I say it, do with your servants. And he listened to them in this matter, and he tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, Marehem tov uvidiye basar, they looked better and they were healthier. Min kol hayiladim haochlim etad dagamelach, they looked healthier, more robust. Look at them, better than all of those that were eating all of the tray for food. Nobody knows how old they were, but from various calculations, there was some place after bar mitzvah between 13 and 15 years of age. These are young children, yes. They were 13 to 15 years of age. Now, you have to understand that even, I shouldn't say it, but I'll say it, even when a guy does a good turn, there's a benefit. Because the Pasuk says, Vayihi ha-meltzah melseya tad bagam v'yein nishteyem v'noten lahem zedonim. The meltzah took the food and the wine for himself, and he gave them the. In other words, there was a little bakshish over here. He agrees, not because he loves Daniel, Hanani, Mishav, Azariah, but he sees a way to profit from it. Now, there's another thing that's fascinating over here. The food of the king may be treif. What's wrong with the wine? So you have to understand, this is before. This is before the Chachamim made the takana that you can't drink, the gzeira that you can't drink gayish wine. Min haTorah, the only kind of wine that's prohibited is wine that was in fact used in a house of idolatry. But a guy who made wine, this was prohibited later by the rabbis in order to limit the social intermingling between Jews and non-Jews. If we can't get together to drink, we may not get together to marry. This was what happens later. The first one who on his own, as a boy, decides he's not going to drink. Yein mishteh. You want to just take my hope shot and 90, in other words, if it's wine that's coming from the cellars of the king, it's not coming from the house of their deity. And what do you think? All the goyish wine, no, there had to be a special gezeira, because 99% today, most probably, for the last 2,000 years, 100% of goyish wine is not used for idol worshipping purposes. At that time, so you took a bottle of wine to the house of Avodah Zarah. But what comes from the cellars of the king was not. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised that if they wanted, they would have opened the cork for Daniel and his friends, so they should see it and take a whiff of the bouquet of the. So it's Daniel on his own, and this is later going to become halacha. Anyway, Vayelodim Be'elar Batam, these children, the four of them, Natan Lahem Holakim, Mado, Vahaskel, Bechol Seif, Vechokma, Vedaniel, Hevin, Bechol Chazon, Vechalomot. God gave them knowledge and success in every book of wisdom. Daniel was one step higher. And as I said at the beginning of this year, this is yet something that we have to discuss. Was it prophecy that is given to Daniel, or
divine,
a divine inspiration and intervention? Yes, where a malach tells him the meaning of dreams, chazon, visions, and chalomot. The whole sefer is going to be a sefer of frightening, awesome, elevating kinds of dreams, and what their meanings are, and how they are to be understood throughout history. And when the period of time, in other words, the 2 or 3, the 3 years that the king had set aside to bring them, and the head of his officers brought them before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke with them. None amongst all of the children from all of the nations, none were like Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. And we know, of course, why? Because the Pasuk before told us that Elohim is the one who gives them this great wisdom. Whatever wisdom and understanding the king sought by them and asked them by Yimtzayim, they had 10 times more, 10 measures more. Al kol ha-kartumim ha-ashafim, all of the kartumim and the ashafim. A precise explanation of what the difference between kartumim and ashafim, we will leave that for the next chapter. Asher b'chol malchuto, greater than all of those in his entire kingdom. Vayehi Daniel ad shnat achat v'koresh hamelech. Daniel was, he was at the head of Babylonian Babylonian and then Persian leadership until the first year of Koresh, and we're going to have to see which Koresh this is. There's a one Koresh, a second Koresh. He's going to be there during the days of Daryavesh. There is even the opinion in the Gemara that says that when Esther sent Hasach out into the street to Mordechai, who's walking around in sackcloth, there's one opinion that says Hasach Zed Daniel. Why was he called Hasach? Shechotchuhu migedulato, that they had brought him down from his greatness. By the time of Achashverosh, he was no longer a leader. But there's so many statements of our rabbis. This was the introduction, and we did one chapter. We will not be able to do a chapter a week, believe me, not when we come to next week's chapter. But don't be frightened. Have confidence that everything will work out well. I must let Toby ask a question, because she's simply going to... Yeah, go ahead. Yes, Toby? That's not an issue that has to be discussed here. No, we'll see about that. By the way,